Hello, friends. This episode is sponsored by Leanne Bowen Fine Art. Leanne is a Catholic artist and a stay-at-home mom, and she is such a sweetheart. We really love her. She has just released a beautiful collection of candles, prints, and gifts just in time for Mother's Day, confirmations, and all the upcoming sacraments. She has an incredible Holy Spirit candle and a baptism candle that smells just like chrism. I have some of her chrism candles, and they really smell amazing. These are beautiful gifts intentionally curated for those receiving their sacraments. She also has a tall 14-ounce chrism candle for priestly ordinations and the best greeting cards with all of her artwork on them. Her most popular print, Sacrifice of Love, depicts a married couple embracing the cross on their wedding day. It's bound to be the most intentional gift your friends or family will receive for their wedding. The best part is that you can bundle any variety of her smaller candle tins together and choose from 3, 6, or 12 candle tins for your entire crew. She also has incredible bulk deals on the candle tins for confirmation classes, retreats, and small groups. Leanne has also just released a batch of bronze prayer card holders that are absolutely stunning. They come in a 3-pack of each of the hearts of the Holy Family. They're sturdy and beautiful, the perfect weight to hold small prints and prayer cards on your windowsill or desk. She's offering 15% off site-wide to all of our listeners with the code ABIDE15 at leannebowen.com. That's www.leannebowen.com. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hi, friends. Welcome to the Abiding Together podcast. And we are delighted to be with you on this adventure. And I know that the Lord is going to do wonderful things in all of our hearts. The Abiding Together podcast is a place where you can find connection, rest, and encouragement on your journey with Jesus Christ. And wherever you find yourself in the world, wherever you find yourself in your life, you are most welcome here. And we know that the Lord will speak to you. My name is Sister Miriam James Heidland, and every week I am joined by two of my very dearest friends, Heather Kim and Michelle Benzinger. And we speak about what the Lord is doing in our life. We speak about our sorrowful mysteries, our joyful mysteries, and how the Lord is leading us in it all. And you are most welcome right here, right here. So please grab a cup of coffee, settle in, and welcome home. And welcome to this week's episode of the Abiding Together podcast, y'all. This is like, we've had major tech failures that when we started to record this, everything totally crashed, which has never happened at my house before. We've had that happen many times, but holy cow. So here we are.
Yeah, this is attempt number 8, but we're ready now. We're raring to go. It feels like, you know, just like this might be an important episode. So yeah, I'm happy we're on here.
I mean, get into it. Yeah, it was intense, people. And so, but we're here now.
Yes, we are. So we are going to actually talk about part 2 of our series on leading with God-given authority. And last week we spoke about this, and we're gonna speak about it particularly as women, so as spiritual and biological mothers, about leading with God-given authority. But you can, I mean, ladies, we're all called to be mothers, no matter if it's a spiritual or biological. Gentlemen, you're most welcome to listen in and apply this however that, if it's for you as well. But I think a lot of times we experience a great vacuum in leadership. And what does that look like? And we see a lot of brokenness, and we see a lot of resistance to, of course, not wanting to repeat the mistakes of other people. But then we see an abdication of authority as well. So we're going to come back to the scripture passage that we used last week, which is from Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 9. Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. So Michelle, as we talk about spiritual authority of mothers and how to fight spiritual battles, and what do we do, what's been given to us by the Lord to step into these places, what first comes to your heart?
Okay. Well, what first comes to my heart is, can we choose another subject? And so like, oh, totally another episode and subject, because it's like, okay, you aren't just going to talk about it. You're going to live it. You're going to embody it. You're in, that's how my last week has been since we started this whole thing, and all of us start diving deeper. I'm like, oh, okay. You really want me to practice this, Lord, and always. And I was just really convicted this week, just even praying about this, like the Lord, just an invitation. He is not like waking up at 3 a.m. I don't know if anyone else does this, but you wake up at 3 a.m. and think about all the things, and then you want to start a to-do list because you're thinking about all the things. And then you think about all the scenarios that could happen with all the different things, the worst case scenarios sometimes. And then you're thinking, oh, and then while you're thinking about the worst case scenarios, then you're thinking, oh, is this buy one, get one free at Publix this week? I mean, this is how your mind goes at 3 a.m. And so thinking about all this, but the Lord, an invitation, Lord, asking myself, like, okay, I'm inviting you not to worry. I'm inviting you to war. I'm inviting you to worship. I'm inviting you to lift your eyes upon me and not the situation. And I think it's really easy in the Old Testament when they sent the spies in to check out the promised land. We can be the kind of spies and say, oh my gosh, but there's giants and there's this and there's this wrong and there's this wrong. Or we can be like the two spies, but no, this is a land filled with milk and honey. Like this is what the goodness is. Mm-hmm. And so just really trying to remind myself, okay, I don't need to react to the darkness and I don't need to react to the enemy or the attacks. I need to respond to the Father. I need to go to war and worship with the Father and not react to the enemy. And when I tell you this, y'all, preaching to myself, putting this in action in my personal life. So, Heather, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, this is where the rubber meets the road. I mean, and we really have to step into, you know, do we believe like what God has said to us? Do we believe that when he says that you're entering into battles that are not of flesh and blood, but there's a spiritual battle at play here? Mm-hmm. Like this is the staying connected to the story that I just keep talking about over and over and over again. If we lose sight of the real story, that salvation history is, you know, our story. This is, we're right in the middle of what's happening here. And there is a battle going on. There's a battle for our souls. There's a battle, you know, for our kids' souls. And yes, Jesus has won. There's nothing that we have to fear. We've been given power and authority through the blood of Jesus, through our baptism and all of that. But unless we're aware and operating in the authority that God has given to us, we will get taken out. This enemy is too powerful for us on our own. Mm-hmm. That is the truth. So I love the scripture from Psalm 144. It says, "Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. My rock, my fortress, my stronghold, and my deliverer, my shield in whom I take refuge and who subdues the peoples under me." And I think that is just like, that's such a powerful scripture. Because I read that and I go, yeah, there's a part of me that in my spirit, it just rises up like into like, yes, like I want to be who God is inviting me to be, you know, in the fullness of who I am as a Catholic and a Christian in the authority that he has given me, because I want to help bring his kingdom here. And and I want to be able to do that with the people first that he's entrusted to me within my family, within my community, my friends, my, you know, and then extending out. So how about you, sister?
Well, I particularly like in our notes, our personal notes that we have for the show, one of your notes says, what does it mean to fight this battle? Standing in truth, hope, and love. Scripture as a battle weapon, claim the promises. But I was thinking of standing in truth, hope, and love, and standing in our identity, the truth of who we are. And you just think of how the enemy, so, you know, we have an enemy, and an enemy always, first and foremost, comes against our identity. He always comes against our relationships, because our deepest relationship is one of communion with God, with the Trinity, you know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit live in relationship. And so the battle is always against relationships of who I am, who am I, who am I to God, you know, who is God to me, and who, you know, who are other people to me as well, like the relationship. And so As you're both sharing, I was thinking of, there's a beautiful prayer, an exorcism prayer that it talks about the sword of Our Lady, like the sword of Our Lady. And I was just thinking like, what does Our Lady's sword look like? Our Lady's sword, she looks different than the sword of Jesus, or like, it's just different. Like men and women fight differently. And I was thinking of when we spoke about Our Lady of Sorrows as the one who suffers in humility, love, and obedience, and the ferocity of that sword and the strength of that sword, and how as she stands in her identity, she stands in the truth of who she is. And it's from that place of truth. Like Jesus says, you shall know the truth and the truth will make you free. She's not trying to take on things that aren't hers or enter into battles that aren't hers or fight in a way that's not hers to fight. Like she is, as Our Lady, as the woman fully alive in the fullness of femininity, she's standing in the truth of who she is. And it's from that relationship of truth, then she goes forth to win that battle, which is in humility, love, and obedience. So there's a gift as women given to us in that regard, that it's fierce, it's very powerful, and it's very strong. And it comes from, first and foremost, the living of our identity, like going back to our identity and living from there and asking the Lord to augment that and to make it, to heal it, to bring it into deeper security so we can live from there.
Yeah. And I think what you were saying, sister, which was so well said, is okay, it's taking time, stepping back and being aware and acknowledge, okay, where are the attacks coming on my identity? Mm-hmm. First of all, you have to know and acknowledge where you're being attacked, you know, because if you can know and acknowledge, then you can actually put up a shield of faith to protect you from the fiery darts, like it says in Ephesians. And if you know, you can also call on to Our Lady, okay, Our Lady, Endurer of Knots, with your sword, slash these things that are binding me, but is being mm-hmm. aware. And that goes back to what we were saying is like being a student of yourself, being a student of your family. It's really interesting. One of the, we're making this big transition. My husband was meeting with the other husband that lives at the place we're looking to move. And he asked, where does the attack come from when y'all are making a big transaction? Mm-hmm. Where is the, and it was such a simple, but yet profound question, because I was thinking, all right, that's such a good awareness. Mm-hmm. The best defense is a good offense, you know, like they like mm-hmm. to say in war. And so like, all right, know where you can go, make sure that you fortify those places where you know you can be attacked and yeah. really be able to fight. So that was beautiful, sister. Heather, what are your thoughts? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's so easy to just like have difficulties come our way. And I think there's a balance in here. I'll just start with that.
Yeah.
But difficulties coming our way and to just look at it through human lenses, just be like, oh, shoot. And then we start troubleshooting and whatever. And that's fine, yeah. you know, to some degree. But there's a different level that we enter into that when I come into awareness of it, I'm like, oh, shoot, like I'm getting attacked, you know, right now from the enemy. And that just changes my whole disposition mm-hmm. from, you know, practical human means mm-hmm. to, okay, I got to get worship on in the house. I got to pray my rosary. I have to whatever, ask some people for some spiritual reinforcements to pray for me. And that's when you see it change. You know, that's when you start to see things move in a different mm-hmm. direction. And I want to say that with this caveat of it's also important to not over-spiritualize. Mm-hmm. And many of us can fall into that. But I often think many of us under-spiritualize, actually. We mm-hmm. under-spiritualize the circumstances in our life. And it doesn't mean we have to freak out and be like, oh my gosh, I'm under so much spiritual attack. I mean, that's almost giving the enemy too much. I think it's just to say, hey, we're always under spiritual attack. We're in a war, people. That's mm-hmm. happening all the time mm-hmm. around us. And so mm-hmm. we just need to be equipped for battle. And the equipping doesn't come from us trying to strive after something or work harder, be better. Like it comes from the Lord. And we need to hide ourselves in the shadow of his wings. Mm-hmm. And let mm-hmm. him do the battle. I love that worship song where it says, this is how I fight my battles. Mm-hmm. And in the video, the gal who's singing it is just singing it with her arms stretched wide open. And I was like, that is such a powerful image of like, this is how I fight my battles in utter surrender to who God is. And I let mm-hmm. his power come into everything, you know, that I need.
Mm-hmm. And I think that truth of what you're both saying is, you know, of the both and of like the spiritual aspect and also the other aspects, which as we all know, they overlap. I was just thinking of that. You guys both talk a lot about declarations, like we all do in different ways, but declarations. And I was thinking of, yeah, what are the things that God gives us out of love to help us in this journey? And I know for myself as a spiritual mother, I mean, in the morning, like every morning I pray a prayer of protection of the precious blood of Jesus, like mm-hmm. asking the blood of Jesus to cover me and to cover all those that I love and the people, and I will name them by name, the people that God has entrusted to me. And if we don't remember all their names, we can say, Lord, all that you've entrusted to me, like all those are in my rightful authority, not taking on responsibility for the people that aren't, but like, Lord, all this is my rightful authority. I ask that you cover them with your precious blood. And then putting on the armor of Christ. And sometimes we teach little kids to do that. And so, Michelle referenced that of St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 6, verses 14 to 17. And we sometimes teach little kids to do that. But I do that every morning. Mm-hmm. Like, you mm-hmm. know, gird my loins with truth. Give me the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet mm-hmm. of salvation, the shield of faith, the sword of the spirit, and the shoes of the gospel of peace. And like, that's part of the daily. Yeah. Like the daily, like you, I mean, let's just be honest. You put your clothes on before you go outside, you know,
hopefully.
And it's
hopefully.
Like, but I mean, I hope you do it, but yeah. That's part of putting our spiritual armor on. And, you know, Heather's visiting me right now. And I was just, you know, we know what it's like. You know, I go to confession very regularly, but you know, when you miss it, you miss your regular confession. You're like, I need to go to confession. And I was just telling Michelle that yesterday. He was like, I need to go to confession today. We're at mass. And I'm like, Lord, I'm just going to go ask the priest. I'm like, I want to go to confession. And the priest at the end of mass literally says, anybody wants to go to confession? I'll hear confessions. I almost like jumped out of the pew and like tackled, you know, just to
we're like wrestling
people.
Each other to get in there, you know,
to get in line at first. I was like, I mean, sometimes that's also part of the spirit. That is a lot
Amen.
Of the spiritual battle is like, I just need mm-hmm. to go to confession and clear out, like, cause that's a deliverance. Every confession is a deliverance of the enemy's Amen. Territory. It is a confession of humility. It is, you know, humility, love, and obedience. That's what confession is. So, man, if you haven't made a confession in a while, and if you haven't gone regularly, just go. Like mm-hmm. that benefits ourselves and everybody around us.
Amen.
Yeah, that's so true. It breaks spiritual bondage. Like mm-hmm. it is the power of Christ at work. It is his resurrection power, his saving power mm-hmm. at work in a very tangible way. And I think and that's another place we can under-spiritualize, you know, we can just go, oh, shoot, it's just something I have to do, box check. No, yeah. it's not that. There is so mm-hmm. much power that's coming through the sacraments. It is the very presence of God himself that is coming through the sacraments. So amen, sister. Good one. What were you going to say, Michelle?
No, I think that's beautiful. It's just the power of the sacraments. And I think the power of reconciliation, the power of communion. I think actually going back to the Lenten study we did with Dr. Bob's book and, okay, look at the different sacraments and look at what wounds they heal. And going back to that, it is the tangible signs of God's redemption, of God's power, of God's presence. And I think it's so smart. We're talking about the armor of God. I love it. If y'all have ever seen, I will actually post this in our show notes. Priscilla Shire, she is a Protestant preacher. Man, I love her.
She's
like,
good.
She preaches church. And so she's amazing. Mm-hmm. But she does such a good teaching on scheme. The schemes of the devil. Be aware of the schemes of the devil. And she said, she talks about like, if you hurt me, I'm the kind of person, like, if you hurt me and you acknowledge that you hurt me, like, well, you know, we'll forgive each other. We'll bounce back. We'll be great. You know, she says in that sassy voice, but she says, and then she pauses like for dramatic effects. And she says, but if I find out you are scheming against me, that you are studying me, because that's what a scheming is studying you. It's looking for your weaknesses. It's looking for your blind spots. It's looking, and if you're scheming against me or my family, you know, there's nothing that brings out something in me than like, I mean, all of us have a justice streak that's very strong in each of us, you know, like yesterday, a friend of ours that we just heard something that was coming up against them. I could just feel like that mama bear rising up in me, like, how dare you, you know, try to touch this person? Like, how dare you, you know? But if I find out you're scheming, then I'm like, it's war, it's game on, I'll come at you. And so just, but to have that, like, just to be aware and be like, okay, what's the scheme coming against me? But man, we got some beautiful gifts in the sacraments.
Yeah. Amen. And if people are wondering right now about the armor of God, all we're doing is taking the words directly out of scripture and just praying them over ourselves and our kids. Like Michelle, you and I all taught our kids to pray that when we were on our way to school, we'd like, as you know, Jesus protect us this day as we put on the armor of God, and we just list them out, you know, and then we pray the St. Michael prayer or whatever. So if people are wondering, that's where it's at. I think there's this other part of us as our families are all in different places, and there's usually things that I think, you know, there is a spiritual inheritance that comes through our families, good and sometimes not so good. And this is another place that I think we can take authority as those who believe and have given our lives to Jesus to start breaking spiritual bonds and generational bondage within our family. So this last, you don't have to do it this way, but I just had this amazing opportunity last year when I went to Scotland. That's where my family's from. And I love that country. It's just so beautiful. But when I was there, I had this amazing opportunity to go to the church where my parents were married and see, you know, some of the things that were around. But when I was in that church, I just felt this like leading from the Holy Spirit to do some battling like this. This is what it looked like for me. So first of all, I knelt down in this little place before the statue of Our Lady where my mom had told me she prayed there as a little girl, like every day she would go and pray there. So first of all, I just gave thanks. I was like, thank you, Mother Mary, for watching over my mom, for being a friend to her, for being a mother to her in all of these tumultuous times in her life. And so I was just really grateful. And then I stood in the place where my parents would have exchanged their vows, and I knelt down right there and I just started to pray in gratitude. I was like, Lord, thank you for their union. Thank you for all the blessings that have come. Thank you for my life. Thank you for my family. Thank you for all of the goodness that you have brought through their marriage together and through that sacrament. And I just want to pray in your authority, Jesus, that you would break any generational bondage that is coming through our family lines, that it would end here today. I just claim your precious blood. And this is just, I just prayed it. And I was like, there is something powerful. My two aunts were there. They were looking around at the church. They had no idea what was going on. We were having a throwdown right in the church, you know, like with the enemy. But it was really powerful. And I think we can do that anywhere. We don't have to be in those exact places. It's powerful if you can be. I think there's just something to that. But you can do it right in your home, in your prayer time, and just begin to say, you know, even in your heart, make an agreement with the Lord. Lord, I agree with freedom and that's what you want for our family. And I want to claim your freedom over our family and all generations from here forward, from before and after, that this is a stake in the ground and the enemy will have no more power here. No more authority here in these places. Why don't you guys speak to that and your experience with that?
Michelle, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I think for us, we've talked about that before on the podcast. Like, what does it mean to be a transitional character in your family? What does it mean to say, okay, this will not go to the next generation. We will stop the curses and then we will be speaking blessings therefore. And this is the work that has to be done for it to go. I think there's a couple of things. I think it's learning how to war and really pray for your family. It's renouncing things that have gone before you know, and I think Sister's going to address that, and then declaring blessings on the line, the generational lines that are coming after. And it's also what we talk about all the time on this podcast. It's also knowing your own personal story, like really knowing where you need your own personal healing, because the best thing that you can do is really be on your own personal journey. And that for that regeneration will pass on to the other generations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. If we think our areas of sin and bondage and addiction aren't going to in some way affect our family and those closest to us, I mean, we have that wrong. We are, again, under spiritualizing and underestimating. And that's one of the things I think the enemy lies to us about is this is just your issue. Just keep it in the dark. Just keep it a secret. It's not affecting anyone. I'm like, no, it is, friends. It is affecting people. That's why the sacrament of reconciliation, counseling, healing, doing our work is, like, you know, of utmost importance. Anyway. Sister, what would you like to say?
That's very true. There's no such thing as a private sin, and there's no such thing as a private grace either. We are profoundly interconnected. And really what we're talking about is, I know there's been a lot of people, a debate over this, like, is there such thing as a generational curse, or is there such thing as generational sin? And I think, you know, you could take out kind of the sensationalism out of it and say, does baptism affect us? Yes, baptism affects us. So when you're baptized, you are cleansed from original sin and you're brought into the family of God, whether your family ever believed in God or not. So that's true. So your baptism, by the course of what it does, indelibly marks you as belonging to God. In that, do we and our families also inherit the things the generations have passed down? We do. So you just look at it financially speaking. So maybe your family comes from a very wealthy family and you come into a family and wow, here's your inheritance. So families pass things down, and we're not blaming people. Mm-mm. We are not blaming people for, oh, I'm an addict because my grandfather was, or it's not not taking responsibility. It's not, like Heather says, over-spiritualizing, but it's also not pretending that doesn't happen too. So there's a saying that it wasn't your fault, but it is your responsibility, right? So
that's good.
Kind of like, okay, so in that, so let's look at our families, and kind of like every family has, and I know Dr. Bob in his Healing the Whole Person workbook has a prayer for generational healing and going through your family lines. Like, is this in your family line? Do you have a lot of traumatic deaths? Do you have divorce? Do you have alcoholism? Do you have a lot of sexual brokenness? Do you have lying? Do you have, there's all kinds of things that, you know, rarely is something just once and done. And I just want to say this in just full honesty and disclosure. I know, like, part of my own story is sexual abuse. Sexual abuse is often passed down from generation to generation. So many times when you uncover that in your family, it's, and that's a very shameful thing for a lot of people that it's never talked about. It is amazing how many times other people in the families will say, that happened to me too, or that happened to aunt, or it was uncle so-and-so, or whatever. I mean, it is, then that's just one example. So, but there's many things, a lot of times, you know, like a lot of traits are passed down, but we can't. So what we're doing is we're asking Jesus, applies his, you know, he's given us a salvation. We're taking that salvation, we're applying it to certain parts of our life. It's like saying we're taking the resurrection and the precious blood of Jesus, saying, Lord, I believe, I love that you start out with thanksgiving, Heather. Like, this is my weapon of warfare. Thank you, God. I'm grateful to you. And I'm taking your precious blood and I'm applying it here in my life. So it's not us doing it in our own authority or trying to muster things happen or controlling other people so those things don't happen, but it is through the power of my baptism, through my identity. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, I take your precious blood and I ask that you would cleanse our family of this particular sin or this tendency or this woundedness. And please, so taking out the sensationalism of it and the debate out of it, it really just is literally an inheritance of our baptism, right? So we can do that. Yeah.
That's really good. And so that kind of leads us to the next piece that we wanted to talk about, which is forgiveness is an important part of breaking spiritual bondage. We talked about it in regards to reconciliation and the sacrament, reconciling with the Lord himself, but also reconciling with ourselves and with other people. I think this is really, really important. And it's also just good leadership. You know, we're also talking about the authority of leadership. It's important for us to take authority, but also to admit when we're wrong, you know, to just say, wow, like, I didn't get this right. And to model forgiveness and what it looks like to repair and restore. This is part of the mission of Christ that we are also given at our baptism, is to restore. And so, Michelle, do you want to speak about that a little bit?
Yeah. Like, and I said in the podcast last week, okay, like, really praying for a personal Pentecost for myself, but for all of us, we, like, this is the time, liturgical time in the church, the season, to really prepare for Pentecost. But revival happens with repentance. Repentance breeds revival. It always begins. That is the bedrock of it. And really praying through that. And going back to that confession, like I was telling you guys in an earlier episode, when I was talking about my personal retreat, is going through the different sins and really identifying the longing. You know, what is the deeper longing? What's the deeper wound? Okay, is that wound something that I'm passing down you know, in my family? Is that womb where I usually get attacked? All right. Do I need to look deeper, like get curious about this, not condemn, like we said, but get curious and say, all right, what's going on in this one area? Why am I like for us, like, why is it always this sin? Is this the way that the enemy gets in? What's the deeper question? Because the Lord wants to comfort us in there and then heal that in that. And then it's been interesting, like even when I'm praying about confession and going into that forgiveness, forgiving myself for that, but asking myself, okay, what did this sin cost me? And not like, like cost me, like I don't have to make the payment. Jesus already died on the cross and has made the payment. But what abundance has it cost me? Like what abundance does the Father want to give me? And I've settled for scraps in this area. Where is his goodness in this area? Flipping things on the on its head, not responding to where the enemy is getting me, but respond to what does the Father want to give me in this area? Like focus on his goodness. I'm just really, there's a couple of things in our life that we're in the waiting period for. Like I am in the waiting period for. So first of all, like, so there's this like this bridge between now and not yet. Like, so in that in-between season, is there any unforgiveness that I need to get rid of so I can go to the next side?
That's a good word.
But then like, it's really funny. My husband is an organizational health consultant and he talks about in relationships and teams. He said like, when you don't know what's going on or there's something going on between two people, he said, assume trust, build the a bridge of trust, even like, just assumed, always assume trust, assume goodness and goodwill. And I was thinking about that this morning when I was praying and the Lord's like, do you assume trust with me? And the now and the not yet. Can you have like in a sacred assumption that I will do what's good, even though you can't see it now in the waiting? Put your heart in the right position, but trust me in the in-between and the now and the not yet, that in the middle, assume trust, Michelle, that I've got this. When my heart is in the right posture, with, you know, with forgiveness, then I can assume trust in his goodness.
Yeah. I think too, the places of where we often get triggered in relationship with other people. And if I'm thinking about my kids, for example, it usually triggers a smaller place in me, you know, where I feel hurt. And then it's very hard for me to operate as an adult in the relationship when a little part is getting triggered, if that makes sense. So for me, a little place in me is, I feel like often people don't see me or they don't see who I really am and they misunderstand my intentions. And that's a very old wound for me that the Lord has been slowly healing over the years. But when that gets hit, you know, especially for one of my kids, like a lack of gratitude or they misunderstand me or they accuse me of something because they're hurt, you know, out of their own hurt, that's just normal relationship stuff. If I, if I'm not careful, I can slip into operating as a child. Now I'm responding to them as a child, you know, from this childhood wound. And that never goes well. Like there needs to be an adult in the relationship. And I need to be a mother in the relationship and not be like lashing out as a little girl to one of my children, you know? It's hard to be a queen in your home when you're a little girl still. So this is just an encouragement to like step into who God has created you to be. It's good actually to just let him in there into those places. And so I have to make a decision in those moments. Yep, it's a reality. There's still little places in me, but that's something I need to deal with the Lord and with my spiritual director or with my counselor or whatever that is. That's not something I need to bring into the relationship with my children. And I think that we often do that when we can't slow down enough, we start to feel the panic of a wound and then we get hurt. So when we don't get it right and we say something wrong, it's important because I do that all the time. I get it wrong all the time. To be able to go to our children or those that God has entrusted to us in any kind of relationship to just walk through the steps of admitting, hey, I can see this is where I was wrong. I'm going to take ownership of that. I want to apologize for what I did. And I want to let you know that I'm going to really work on this. And I hope not to do this again to you. And that when someone says that to me, if they just go, sorry, you feel like that. I'm like, that's not an apology.
It
what
is
I
an
want
apology.
To know, actually,
no.
What I want to know is that you understand what you did and that you're going to try not to do it again. Yeah. Because when I know that, then there's actually the opportunity for safety to be restored again. If I don't know that, I tend to not feel safe. And then I'm like cautious in the relationship. So this is something that we have to lead with ourselves. Instead of just desiring to receive it, we need to be willing to lead with it, to offer it, and to model it for our kids and for those around us so that they learn how to repair. That's just a part of being human. We're going to have to repair a lot. Yeah. Sister, why don't you speak to that?
Yeah. Oh, there's just so much good stuff here. I think I've been thinking lately, a lot of us just never learned how to repair. When you were little, like a lot of us just never had that model to us. We didn't know what that was like, or it was kind of a half-hearted repair, or if it was just like something happened that was really hurtful. And then the person just came back and pretended like nothing happened. And it's really hard to heal. It's really hard to trust again. It's like, even our bodies, like you're saying, Heather, like our bodies hold back. Mm-hmm. It's when those things, and it's not like you have to talk about every nitpicky thing. It's not that, but it's like when there are things that happen that are never acknowledged, or you feel like you're kind of being gaslit, or your heart, and maybe the person doesn't see it the way you see it, but when there's no acknowledgement of even being heard, it's very difficult for us to grow in intimacy mm-hmm. and love. It's just, it's, and it, I just was noticing, I'm like, man, that's, and then things that have been ruptured that have never even spoken of ever again. And you just have to go on with life, like pretending that didn't happen, or it's just, and we were talking earlier about they're like the four A's of an apology, which is like to admit the situation, acknowledge its impact, apologize for the situation, and act to correct it. And it's not saying that somebody comes and brings something to you, you have to agree with everything they say, but just to be able to listen mm-hmm. and say, and you can honestly say like, I hear you. I don't understand yet. I'm still working on it, but I want to hear mm-hmm. you. And I'm very sorry. I can see you're hurt. I'm very sorry for any hurt that I may have caused you. And I, you know, especially when we know we've done something wrong, you know, we're not saying, but I wouldn't have done that if you would have, that's not the mm-hmm. apologies. Like I'm so sorry. I see that I've hurt you, and I will really work on this. I will try to make sure, can you help me with this? If the person's safe enough, can you help me with this? Can you, and that, like you said, like the, both of you, like that goes a long way of mm-hmm. part of what good leaders do and what good parents and what good maternal and paternal figures do is they apologize when they're wrong. And there's an openness there and a humility there. And isn't it like we've all had that experience of, doesn't that just make you love the person even more?
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh my gosh. And it makes you want to be like, yes, and even if it's hurtful, it's like, yes, I want to be there with you. Or even at least open the door. Maybe there's a repetitive sorrow there, but when somebody's, it's a humble, contrite heart is very difficult to spurn.
It is.
and in our own hearts and other people. And I think that's important. I read a quote from Mother Teresa, and I don't even know if she said it. So hashtag things saints probably never said, but remember many years ago reading a quote by Saint Mother Teresa that said, before, when anybody says anything about you, go to Jesus and ask him if it's true.
That's so good.
And so you can take whatever people say and you can go to Jesus and say, all right, Lord, I really want to know, like, mm-hmm. what is this true? Is it partially true? Is it not true? It's just, cause then it just gives our hearts freedom to respond and to be, and to love. Yeah. And to love the way Jesus loves. So. I guess that's what I would say about that.
Yeah, that's so good. That's really good. I think forgiveness is obviously a topic we can go into very, very deeply, but I just want to point people right now. Sister Miriam has given many talks that are online about forgiveness, as well as with Father John Burns, that those are powerful resources for you to get into. Also, we have a forgiveness meditation that Sister did on one of our previous episodes. So if you Google that, that's a really good one to sit and pray with. But I do want to sneak in this last part before we close out this episode about renunciation and declaration, because I think this is a practical tool that we all can use and we can start using right now today. And it's an important one. And really what it means is renouncing lies that we're aware of, that we can see are at play, whether it be for us or for people that are close to us, our kids, people that God has entrusted to us, renouncing those lies. And this is important to do out loud, actually. Mm-hmm. I think there's something mm-hmm. about saying it and declaring it out loud. We're going to renounce mm-hmm. the lies from the enemy. So it could be things like, for example, like I renounce the spirit of fear and I renounce the lie mm-hmm. that I have to protect myself against everyone who's trying to love me because they're going to hurt me. That's a lie. That's a yeah. lie from the enemy. Mm-hmm. So it's just acknowledging mm-hmm. here's the things at play. Some of this takes some prayer, reflection, but you can also do it for other people. Like I want to renounce a spirit of anxiety in my home. Mm-hmm. I want to renounce a spirit of, you know, suicidality or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. It can be little things. It can be big things. And then it's important to also, after renouncing various lies and spirits, to ask Jesus to cover us with his blood, to send those spirits to the foot of the cross in his name. And this is the part that it's not by our power, it's his power. It's Amen. Jesus. And in the name of Jesus that we do that. And then we move to a part where we can declare the truth. And that's also important to declare mm-hmm. the truth out loud. I declare the truth that I am good, that I am lovable. I declare the truth that, you know, about our kids, like various things that they might be struggling with. You're doing it on their behalf. This is what it mm-hmm. looks like to battle for someone. You can battle on your own behalf, but you can battle for other people. So Michelle and Sister, do you want to speak to that a little bit as well?
No, and we can put in the show notes, as JP2 has a great little PDF when it talks about the seven. Renunciation lies and announcing truth, the seven deadly wounds. And it's stuff that we've talked about here, but just a good resource, a PDF for you to print out and to do that. And just to really declare out loud, like our words bring life. And there is something creative. There's it's like a back in the Garden of Genesis, like in the very beginning in Eden, it was a creative act to name things, like to name them out loud. And so it's a creative act also to name the goodness and the beauty and the truth of the people in our lives. We oftentimes, we just assume people know their goodness and their beauty and their truth. And they don't. It needs to be called out. It needs to be spoken into existence. And like I've said before on the podcast, our words create worlds. And so do we need to speak those like, oh my goodness, I see this goodness in you today. I see this truth and this is who you are, you know, and we need one another to speak out the truth of our identity and to declare that over each other. Sister, what are your thoughts?
Very good.
And I think, yeah, to just add, I think what you guys are saying is so beautiful. And I think the most beautiful reality is when we're proclaiming scripture, because that's eternal.
Yes.
So the more we can, so I think one of the really, really great practices we can do, or what are some of the particular battles that we fight personally? And then what are some of the battles your family fights? And to be able to look through scripture, even if you just Google it, what are some of the promises of Jesus that are directly against those attacks? So maybe it is, you know, maybe for us, it's like the fear of abandonment or the wound of abandonment. We're always feeling abandoned. So we can renounce the wound of abandonment, what we believe that nobody cares about me, that I'm all alone, that I have to figure this out on my own. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I receive and I proclaim the truth, Lord, that you say that you will never abandon me. You will never leave me an orphan, that you're with me always until the end of time. And so what we're doing is we're really proclaiming the eternal truth into our lives and into our spiritual atmospheres. And and that's power. That is not just saying nice things over ourselves. Like that is literally a power that comes from God, the creative God who is to be himself. It's bringing life into that atmosphere. And even if we don't feel like it, it's just amazing. That doesn't mean just because we might not even feel a switch, it doesn't mean it's not happening, because we're using our will and we're uniting our will to the will of God, who's proclaiming goodness over us and healing us. And that we can do that anytime. You're in the line at the grocery store, you're getting a patient, you know, you're with their kids, like Heather, you're saying, all of us get triggered. We start acting out of ways that are feeling threatened or insecure, or that ongoing thing that you have with your in-laws. And so instead of going to the thing of resentment and bitterness and powerlessness, it's like, Lord, this is painful for me. I'm gonna proclaim the truth, Lord, that I don't know the way, but you're the way. So Jesus, I just proclaim that you're the way here. I don't see a way, but you say you're the way. So that means there has to be a way. So it's just, and those are things, it's not like a big, oh, I got to get up 4 hours earlier and get into this. Like, no, these are things you can write them down by your kitchen sink and put them in. And it changes. It changes our lives. It's proclaiming the resurrection, the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Christ into every aspect of our life. So,
yeah. Amen. And I love what you were saying about scripture. We've talked about that a few times, but I'm going to put a resource in. It's just a few scriptures around identity, specifically that topic. You can do it around any topic, but I'm just going to include that for our listeners and get Michelle's Healing Center prayers in there too. So there's a lot of resources to find on our website in the show notes from this one. And of course, there's a ton of other great resources out there on these topics that people can get into. I think just to close, it's important to remember that we are in a battle, but don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't fear the enemy. Like, you have been claimed by Christ, and it's his power at work. He's already won this battle. It's the enemy only has power that we give to him in our life. The doors that we open, when we start closing those doors, we start, you know, like frequenting the sacraments, receiving Jesus regularly, you know, all of those things. Sacramentals are important. You can go back to our episode with Father Justin, where he talked about just that one thing I just remember so clearly. He just said, in all his work as an exorcist, he just goes, "It's all real." And I was like, "What do you mean?" And he just smiled and he was like, "All of it." And what he was talking about was the power of God and, you know, wearing a crucifix, and just that there is power in all those things. And very simply, there is power in the name of Jesus. If you don't know what else to do, just say his name out loud.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, we're going to battle now. Let's go fight. You guys want to? not each other. Let's get big sumo wrestling suits on and just go fight.
Exactly.
All right. Miss Michelle, what's your one thing for the week?
My one thing is actually a Catholic jewelry company. It's Be Still, and they were with us at the Walking with Purpose conference, but I got a bracelet, and has different flower beads on it. As you can see in the thing, but it was like, when you say a Hail Mary, it presents a flower to Mary. And so it's different. And I just love it. It's colorful and it's fun, but I just loved all of her jewelry. I could have probably bought everything in her shop, mm-hmm. but you know, that probably wouldn't mm-hmm. have been prudent, but beautiful stuff. And so it is called Be Still Ministries.
And she's a sweetheart too. I got some of her stuff as
well. She's wonderful.
She's such a sweetheart.
From Lafayette, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. She's amazing. So, mm-hmm. so great.
Sister, what's your one thing, girl?
My one thing, well, of course, is having you with me here, Yay! Heather Kim. So it's been delightful to have you at the house and just to experience your beauty. And it's a great gift to have you. And somebody recently sent me something called the Litany of the Waiting Woman.
Oh, I was hoping you were going to say
really
that.
It's really beautiful. Yeah. And Michelle was saying, you know, she's waiting. I think all of us are the waiting woman. Like we're just waiting for different things. Like there's always a part of us that's waiting. And I was reading it. It was so beautiful. I mean, I'll put it in the show notes, but part of some of the prayer says, from the restlessness in my present season, deliver me, Jesus. From the anxiety of running out of time, deliver me, Jesus. To see the present as necessary preparation, stay with me, Jesus. For a full feeling heart that is crowned with hope, stay with me, Jesus. It's just really beautiful. So you can apply it to maybe some of us are waiting to find out, you know, how we're called to give the gift of ourselves in love and our vocation, or maybe we're waiting for a child, or we're waiting for, I don't know, but whatever season of life you're in, I think all of us are waiting for something. And it's a lovely part to sit with and just let it wash over you. It's just really beautifully done. So I will put that there.
I have two one things. One is, I think I mentioned this last time, but I'm just going to say it again. It is my Battle Cry playlist. So whenever I want to have a throwdown and I'm, you know, driving in the car or I'm doing laundry or I'm whatever in the house, I just throw on this playlist and it's a good one. Like it's all just spiritual warfare prayers, songs, or things that are just true about God and his power. So it's really empowering for me. Like I'm just like, yes, this is the truth. Heather, get your head right. You know, there's one called Sound Mind, which we've talked about. And I think that's just part of it is like, we're not given a spirit of fear, but a sound mind.
Amen.
And those things help, whatever resources can help. My second one thing is you too. I'm so grateful for you guys. Great. And I'm always grateful for you guys, but you've been journeying with me for a long time through some very dark things in a very dark season of life. And I've just been struck every day how grateful I am for your friendship and just for your steadiness, for the ways that you guys have battled for me when I didn't feel strong enough to do it for myself. You held hope for me. And praise the Lord, the breakthrough has been coming. And so I'm just super grateful for you both and for our friendship beyond this podcast, beyond anything we do together. I just love you guys very much.
Oh, I love you too, friend. Aww. Thank you.
Thanks, friend. Love you very much. Proud of you. Yeah. So proud of you.
We went from war to love fest. Here we go, people. So
that's what the ladies do.
That's right.
So, yeah, there we go.
That's right.
Well, dear friends, we hope this has given you some hope and some tools for the journey and just a reminder of the goodness of who you are and the identity with which you bear, which is eternal and magnificent. So until next week, we will be abiding together. God bless you. Have a great week. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. If you liked it, would you please share it with a friend and leave us a review? We encourage you to head over to our website, abidingtogetherpodcast.com. where you can find all the show notes, links to our One Things, group discussion questions for each episode, and beautiful coffee mugs, t-shirts, journals, and prints in our shop. There you can also subscribe to receive our weekly email with links to each new episode and all of the content. We'd love to connect on social media and invite you to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter so you can catch inspiring reflections every day. You're also welcome to join our private Facebook group and dive deeper into discussions with our fellow listeners. If the podcast has blessed you, would you prayerfully consider financially supporting us? The Abiding Together podcast is only available due to the generous support of our listeners. There are significant costs associated with creating this content, such as tech support, design, website, equipment, and hired staff that we need to be able to continue offering great content. Abiding Together is a nonprofit 501c3, and all donations are tax deductible. You can make donations of any amount through the Patreon website, or you can send us a check directly if that's easier for you. If you donate $15 or more per month on our Patreon page, you become a tribe member, and you will receive bonus content every month, such as recipes, music playlists, downloadable prints, and more. You can find all the information at patreon.com/abidingtogetherpodcast. Thank you so much, and God bless you.